be all through. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
His name is Jesus. He is waiting. He is calling in a whisper. If you're listening, you can feel it. His Holy Spirit drawing nearer. He's calling, come to me, come to me. If you're hurting, if you're lost, he's calling.
Calling, come. Nobody lies. All right, I had a hearty lunch. It was Thai food. It was not Taekwondo. It was Thai food. I had Thai food.
Yum.
And it was good, a little spicy, a little bit spicy. And I was a little concerned because the container was belching.
Oh, no.
I don't like to have belching containers. I mean, that makes me wonder about contaminants. Should I think about that?
Wow. Makes me think of that's too much food.
No, it was not that. It was the heat.
The heat and the plastic.
And the plastic. Oh, it was that foam stuff.
Mm.
And it looked like it was almost pregnant. You know, it just was one of those.
Right.
It was bleeped up and bleeped out.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go.
One was in and one was out. So it was not like. But, you know, the food tasted all right. I guess just put extra hot sauce in. That's what they did in Africa. Just more hot sauce. More of that red palm oil and more hot sauce. And you better pray twice on this meal because you're probably going to have clogged arteries before you get out of Africa. And like, okay, well, we'll be out of Africa. All right, good afternoon. We are here, and Mary Weir has joined us from the far north. Well,
happy
not that far
here.
North.
Not that far.
Fort Pierce?
40 minutes. No, Vero Beach.
Oh, you're in Vero.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, that's in the
Hence
upper
the
country.
Name of your business.
That is the upper country. Isn't John's Island and all that stuff up that way?
Yes, they're a little further north than I am. I'm closer to Fort Pierce, South Vero.
Ah, South Vero.
Yes.
Still, that's uptown. That, you know, we look at that and go, well, you know, that's high society up that way. So what do you do, Mary? You helped us, I know, but I just don't know how to put it into proper technical terms. You are a specialist.
I would say I'm a specialist. I build applications.
Okay.
I can do complex web development, so more complex processes, things talking to each other on the back end behind a website. And also we're doing artificial intelligence, helping businesses to implement artificial intelligence within their organization responsibly, what we're calling responsible AI these days.
We want to talk some more about that.
Sure.
Because we just had a guest in earlier, Kim Stryker, who her background is production, movies, writing, musicians, artists, all kinds of stuff. And she was talking about AI and how we now have personalities that may be taking over the screen, you know. And okay.
Digital twins, they're called.
Okay.
This is a big implementation now. And I am working with an organization that has implemented digital twins. I'm creating a particular voice model for their platform. So the voice is, well, as a matter of fact, they ran into a problem in Ghana because they have their implementation in Ghana, in the farming community within Ghana. And the accent, the organization that they used before couldn't get the accent right. So they asked me to do it. So I've been problem solving that for them. So I'll be implementing a model for them to use in their system, which will replace the other company.
This
sorry about that.
Well, it sounds like this is the way we make our living.
That's right.
So
that's how we do it.
If one can't, somebody else can. The idea is it's got to work or else it doesn't work. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
So great to have you with us. We're going to chat a little more. This is Prayer and Share. This is when we raise our budget, 6-month budget. $37,500 a month is what it takes for listener support. That obviously wouldn't run the station, but it covers listeners. And so thank you very much for your donation, your support, and thank you for helping us come out of the dark ages, either way. But with our website, and it's still in process, and I think you just saw some things I've been looking at. I travel around the country when I'm out. I'm always going, I wonder what they do. They sound like they kind of know what they're doing. I would like for it to sound like we know what we're doing. I'd like it to look like we know what we're doing. Because once in a while, you know, Karen does some things and Dave does some things and they're done really right, you know. So that's pretty great. So, Karen, you went to lunch?
I didn't go. I was here.
Oh, you were here. Did you take lunch? That was my question.
Well, you know,
question.
Someone had brought those donuts in, so I've been picking out the
appetizer
munchkins.
You know, yeah, but, yeah, okay.
So I didn't have an official lunch.
Munchkins?
Munchkins.
Sugar fix.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that's legal on my menu, but I visited the box. But actually, I sent my wife out to visit the box because then it's like it's not quite as convicting. You know, it's like I only went personally one time there. But anyway, that was good. So we've had a great day. I had a busy morning this morning. Started out down at the Hope Sound Beach. We had a little memorial service for an awesome lady. And her family all came in. What a breeze. It was like 30 miles an hour. I'm like, wow, it was huge. And the amazing thing was when the two lifeguards went out and they volunteered to take out the ashes. They really did it nice. This lady like lived down at the Hope Sound Beach. She was there all the time. And as they were trying to get through the waves just to get beyond the immediate breakers, they both kind of went through this first swell together. And just as they got the wave kind of past them, I saw this fin come up. It was big. And they literally could have reached out and touched it, I believe. So I'm thinking, I'm seeing something. They came back in and said, did you see that shark? It was like a 5-6 foot shark that was like right beside us. And I'm like, wow. I did see it. And it ended up that somebody, one of the family, they were filming. And the fin comes up in the film, so they actually show the shark. It was pretty amazing. But anyhow, kind of rough out there. We had a lot of rain. Watch your driving. Be careful out there. And give us a call. Phone number is?
That number is 772-221-1100.
Yep. Or you can text WCNO to 24365.
Now, we always have people say, now, how do you text? Now, you are a techie person. So how would you explain that? Because I've done it, but it for some reason, we have a lot of people, it seems confusing to them.
Sure. So when you go to click to send a new text message and you have to type in who to search, like your name, search your wife's name.
Okay, sure. Like there's a number or something connected to it.
Yep. Then instead of doing, or usually you actually just click on your wife and then you text her.
Right.
But if you were going to start a new text message and have to search for the person, instead of searching, you would type 24365. That's what you would text.
So you enter the number.
Enter this number, 24365, hit enter. And that will come to WCNO, and then you just say you pledge however much you want to text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you put into the message WCNO. So
you don't have to. WCNO is registered to this number, 24365.
Oh, see, now you're giving us some more information here now. So
at least
automatically,
I think so. Let me double check.
Let's try it out. Let's try it out. Because we have somebody listening, and I know if we can get this clear, somebody was saying, you know, if we had 1,000 or 5,000 or 20,000 or however many thousand kids go, hey, I could give a buck. Because we have a huge listening audience. We could very quickly meet the full budget. And I guess that's true. But I think a lot of people are comfortable. They're used to texting and others really are not at all.
Correct.
It's kind of like one of those things, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, yeah, you do have to type WCNO in.
And then, you do have to type WCNO, okay.
And it comes up with prompts you to click on the donate link.
Yes, because I tried pledge instead without the WCNO and it didn't work. Correct.
Mm-hmm. But the number does tie to, it's our number, right?
It ties to a system that is accepting pledges under the radio station.
Okay.
WCNO, correct.
All right, so if you're just tuning in and you're wondering what in the world happened to WCNO, they're doing strange things today, and that's because you actually have the staff, and we're coming together. We do this twice a year. We do it in October. We do it in April. And it normally takes 2 weeks. Previous manager told me on occasion it took longer. But we're praying it doesn't, that 2 weeks would be good, or whenever we meet the budget. That's kind of the goal. But we started out with a $225,000 budget that we're looking to raise. And it's not like a goal. It's like our budget. It's like, you know, we're going to have if we're going to have beans, on the table. Well, not really quite like that. But really, if the station's going to operate, we need to have that operational budget. All of it is there. And so we started with that on Monday morning, and we've had some amazing engagements with our family, people just calling in, stopping in. And, of course, James, he's one of those guys. You know, he used to come and he'd be out there, and I'm like, come on in here, come on in here, come on in here. And somebody told me, yeah, you know, we've got this guy that comes by sometimes, and in his old life, you know, he was like a guy that got in trouble for robbing banks. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is like a guy on TV. No, he's a real guy like that. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. So then I started trying to connect with him. We have all kinds of people like that because that's who we are. We come from all kinds of backgrounds, and that's kind of neat that we can come together. So we've been doing this, and some of the days we get a little punchy around here, and we have corny jokes and stuff, and people love us, and they keep coming back. But anyhow, right now we have $41,284 has been raised, and we are on the way to $225,000, and we're going to keep pushing in that direction. So your call is going to be a great blessing. You can go online, you can text. And we also have a QR code, which this amazes me. Maybe you can explain it some, but how can there be so many different QR codes? You can just create them and they just work, but it's in there somewhere in our webpage. And that's amazing. It's like there's an unlimited number of QR codes.
There's an unlimited number of QR codes. Wow. Data gets embedded in the image. It's a vector image. So,
wow.
Yep. And when you scan the image, the data that's embedded pops up.
And there's no fear of duplicates or whatever.
I mean, I've never encountered it.
That is really amazing, because I'm thinking all over the world they're using QR codes, and yet it's like this little thing, a little box. I think they're little squares or whatever, and you just scan it, and there you go, you're there.
There can be scams with it though. Like for example, if you've ever down in South Florida and you have to do the parking, or even here maybe in Stewart you have to park. There have been scammers that have placed their fraudulent QR codes on top of those.
And so that's stick around.
Yeah, and it happens. So you have to be careful for sure, like where you're clicking to. Be aware, pay attention, use discernment like in everything else.
Send it to my house, right, instead of your house. It's like all these things. I remember the first time I had a call. And I don't know which service we had at that time, cell phone, but it was like these, I think they were iPhones. You just purchased like 15 iPhones. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? You know, yeah, just call this number. You know, if you did not make this purchase, call this number and enter this information. I'm like, no, stop. Something's not right. Called the phone company and said, no, that's not happening. Like, wow. But so much of that goes on today, doesn't it?
A lot of
scamming, and you have to be really careful. And how does the security work? Do you have much of a challenge with that? Because I know you work with a lot of companies.
I do. We have to – we're always implementing new methods. We have to pay attention to what's going on. It's easy to, kind of forget something and then, you know, regret it later. So there's just a system that you have to always, you know, launch with a certain system. And that's even in building a regular website, to make sure that you have a firewall up, to make sure that your email is protected, to make sure you have CAPTCHA, to make sure that you are, closing the headers, because they can read, you know, like you can... You know, like you start off something with a title. Well, they can read the title of a website and learn a lot about, you know, what's going on in the website and what processes you're using for that website. So you have to close all those doors so they can't read those things, you know, as best as you can.
It is amazing how closely some of these scams duplicate, like even recently one for the local banks. And the letterhead, the logo, everything looked perfectly right. And, a family called me and they said, I was told this is going on. There's a scam. You know, things are happening at the bank. And it's private. You can't talk to anybody. And I'm like, wait. Already, something's not right. But just people I know, some have been scammed out of thousands of dollars. And there's many people involved in the scam. It's not like one person on the phone. It's like, hang on, I got to get a hold of the FBI. They have to verify, you know, who I am. I got to give you my badge number, and they're going through all this stuff. And it sounds very legit. Meet me at the bank, you know, and we'll do this. But anyhow, Technology, where are we going with this?
Sure. One thing I want to add really quick that I feel like is important is, and that's common as well, is Microsoft. Because there is a, what the scammers have done is they've actually paid advertising their company, like they're a Microsoft support group, to help you get out of problems. They'll record your screen, of the screen of your phone, or they'll record the screen of your computer. And it's happened to friends of mine, even in Vero Beach.
Really?
And they get access to their bank account. They have you pay. And the minute you're sitting there typing in as they're recording, they're taking everything from you, and they're moving very fast. So what they've done is they've actually advertised their business as a support company for Microsoft. And you can, if you're searching for an issue because your computer's having an issue with Microsoft or something, they are right at the top as well. And so you end up with, you know, they're scamming.
So how do you know?
Yeah, you just have to be really careful. In this case, I had a really good friend of mine. She had to go and close down her bank account and reopen a whole nother bank account. And so you just have to be careful. If they ask you to pay them right away, you know, do that kind of thing, then just don't do it. Shut it down. Shut down your computer. Call a local IT person. Tell them what's going on. But don't ever open up your bank account when you have a support person on the phone recording your screen.
That you don't know.
That's the first flag.
That you didn't contact because you knew
that. Yeah, it's like, and first of all, they wouldn't ask you to do that. Any legitimate company does not ask you to log into your bank account. They just don't do it.
Sure, sure.
You know, so, but it happens. It's happened too many times.
A lot. Happens a lot.
Yep.
All right. So this afternoon we have Mary Weir with us, and Mary has been working with us to upgrade and really redesign a lot of things here with her webpage. And I know that we're kind of in the, you know, maybe we're in the baby step program, but things work. And the web page works, so people can get what they need to know. I think what I'm looking for is a little bit more of the pizzazz, grab you, you know, as soon as you hit the page. And it seems that it's going more and more that way. Things seem to be more and more visual, bright, colorful, moving, alive, videos, all kinds of things like that. So someone's listening today, you're in business, maybe you want to take a look at what you have. How would someone get a hold of you, Mary? Just how does that work? Would you have a consultation? Is there how do you open the door? How do they open the door to your business?
Thank you. So they can reach me at Vero Web Consulting. It's V as in Victor, Edward, R-O, webconsulting.com.
Okay.
I do have a free consultation.
Okay.
I do have another website, Mary Lee Weir, under my name as well, .com, and there's a free consultation there as well. They can click. It's 15 minutes. We always go over 15 minutes. Don't mind the 15 minutes, but but it's a free consultation. We can talk about your business. We can talk about where you are. If you have a website and you just need some updates, we do that as well. We can, you know, talk about if you have a process, or if you have an e-commerce site, you have, you know, services or products that you'd like to sell online. We can also do that as well too. So
how long have you been doing this?
20 years, over 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
20 years.
Since 1999, I got my 1998. I had my first Gateway computer. I don't know if anyone remembers Gateway.
Yeah.
So a desktop, and then we had to sign on. Remember when you connected to the internet and it had that little... that was a great sound, though, wasn't it, for a while? It's like you're connecting to the outside world. It's been a long time.
So Radio Shack was probably just slightly ahead of that?
Yeah, you could
maybe
say.
Maybe slightly. I'm not saying they were ahead as in the sense of being better, but I remember IBM... And I had one of the leaders on my leadership team worked for IBM. And he's like, you got to come over to the business center. You know, this computer is going to save you so much time. And it cost like $3,500 for the church. That was a lot of money. You know, $3,500 was a lot of money to spend on a computer. And I didn't have a clue what to do with a computer. And so he's like, no, it's easy, you know, and once you learn, you know, you're going to have it down. The whole office will be able to use it, and you're never going to need another computer. this is going to do everything you're ever going to need to do. This is absolutely, it's exactly what you need. So we bought that, and I don't know how many years it lasted, but it wasn't long until we found out, no, there's going to be something newer. The new software is not going to work with the old software, and the fun and the game start, and you have to upgrade, and you have to do all of this. But, yeah, so you've seen a few things change.
Yeah, I have floppy disks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
They could. Now you have little drives that are the size of my fingernail.
They
can hold
crazy?
A lot more. It's crazy. Yes, things have changed. I've seen all of that and interacted with all of it. So, you know, remember the disk drives, then I remember the CDs.
Yeah.
And then, of course, hard drives and then portable hard drives. It's kind of like going from the big giant phone, the right. black phone
right.
that used to have
block
the cell phone.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. To our small, you know, cell phones. So it's amazing what technology or what devices can do. And I think the new implementation, you were asking what's new in technology, especially with the implementation of AI, the founders, you know, I follow them and what they're doing. The device maker who made the iPhone has joined with Sam Altman, and they are intending to come out with some new devices, which will be less with texting and, I'm sure, more with voice. So it'll be interesting to see what new devices come on the market now going forward. So we're going to get some changes, I think, to these.
So
phones.
More with voice. What do you mean by that? Because, of course, with voice, you can text now. So you're just saying the quality is going to be improved significantly or what?
Well, so I think the device is going to change a bit more. More wearable devices with implementation. I know they're trying to do it, you know, the Ray-Ban glasses, and Meta, which is Facebook's company, has implemented, or they've partnered up with Ray-Ban. So you can walk around now and record, and they're doing a lot more. More is happening within those glasses that you're wearing.
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm at the movies now. I'm seeing a sci-fi movie. Okay, so what's going on in the glasses? I get mine at like, well, not the dollar store, BJ's, Sam's, whatever, Costco. So, you know, I'm wearing readers. So what's happening with glasses?
So Meta has...
And why glasses?
Sure. Well, I think, again, it's all about the wearable. It's all about the convenience of having technology on your person.
Okay.
And not have to carry
lose it.
Put your glasses on.
Okay.
Now, you're able to record everywhere you walk. So they're seeing what you're seeing.
So cameras. Really?
Cameras. Yep. And then there's stuff that's happening within the side. You know, you can tap things. And also, he's got it now where you can do little hand motions with your fingers, and it also makes certain actions happen within the glasses. So it's just going to continue to evolve in that direction is what I'm saying at this point.
So your glasses.
These glasses are just, they were $30 on Amazon.
They're not. I'm looking at that little thing there in the front.
No. I'm not wearing Ray-Ban Metas. They're out of my budget. And also, I haven't seen the value yet for myself personally. So.
Well, Karen, I had a question because she's talking about they can see. I was going to ask her, okay, who are they?
Yeah, who's they? Exactly. That's another great question.
Who are they that's going to be watching?
The truth is, people will be walking by, recording you and doing things, and even more so
and
with these wearables.
Clue.
And you'll have no clue. You really will have no clue. Well, and that's a little scary, I will be honest.
Well, phone lines are open. If you have a question for Mary, you could call in. We'll pass it over to her. And you can also make a donation when you call in. Give those numbers out, Karen.
That number is 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100.
We're going to go to a song. We'll be back in just a few minutes. In fact, looks like about 3 minutes to be exact. Keep your dial set right here at 89.9.
God of love, oh, I can see. all the glory to the God of love.
All right, and that was Melissa Helser, Revivals in the Air. And looking at our world, where is our world going? What is happening? Just talking about human ID? No.
Human ID. We were talking about human ID and nature ID.
Okay, so define it. What is human ID?
Okay, well, so as far
as... Since I am human.
So human ID is something the United Nations wants to implement for, especially with refugees, so that everyone, they're saying everyone deserves to have an ID, a digital ID to have an ID.
To legalize their function in the country to...
Everything.
This is for what? For business, for work?
Well, they're saying for security, to know who you are, to know who they are because they've been misplaced and so on. So they want to implement a global human ID.
Okay, so what is this? Is it a card? Is it a necklace?
That's a good question. I don't know how. I haven't really looked into how they plan on implementing it, but I'm assuming it's going to be.
But this is law in many places?
I'm not sure if it's law
yet. I think
it
was the UK.
I'm not sure if it's law yet entirely. What I do know is the United Nations. So what? There was a pact that was signed in the United Nations by 183 countries, which is implementing essentially what it's saying is if you don't implement this ID or get onto a digital system, then potentially you could no longer drive your car because your license would be taken. Potentially you could no longer access your bank accounts. So this has all been proposed as one way to get people to shift from our driver's license, our social security card that we have somewhere in our drawer, our birth certificate, everything going digital to no longer having paper and paper trails and so on. And if you don't implement a certain digitized...
So there's going to be a general standard that they are wanting to be global, really. I mean, however, it starts out wherever it is. But how many countries?
It's 183 countries.
Wow.
It was initially going to be through the World Health Organization because of COVID. This was supposed to be implemented through that. It didn't get implemented through that, so it was implemented in another way.
Hmm. So that's coming. Okay, how does... You said animal?
No, nature.
Nature.
Yeah, so the
I'm
nature
thinking
animals, ID.
So, okay.
No, the nature ID is... Okay, so this is also through the UN, but what's interesting about this is they're going to be... they're essentially putting a digital signature on resources, rivers, major resources that are owned by maybe private organizations or
why
public.
It's not like they're going to walk away.
Well, so again, here is the take on this is... Now, Jonathan, I don't know how old you are, right? But
69. I'm not ashamed of that.
Okay, 69. Okay, great. But let's say you're 75 and you maybe don't need that much water anymore, right? So maybe less water for you because you're 75 and you don't need as much
rationing.
Water. But you have a 20-year-old who's younger,
yep,
capable.
2 hour showers.
this is kind
this
of the direction.
Is scary.
I mean, it is scary. We do need to be aware. It's mixed information out there. You'll see some pushback on this that it wasn't, that it's not necessarily going in this direction, but you have to use your discernment. You have to read between the lines.
Wow, but global resource management.
Global resource management.
Huh?
I mean, what's going to happen is as we go to replacing the dollar, what's going to replace the dollar? And some of the discussion has been, okay, let's replace it with what resources we own. And so that's why maybe you have billionaires buying up half the Amazon, which I was even like, how in the hell can a billionaire? Because they want to save the Amazon. Really? Is that really what they want
that's
to do?
Saving the Amazon, right.
Save the Amazon.
Right.
They want to have control
then
over
stop the
Amazon.
Industry that's killing half the environment that you own and are implementing.
Right.
Maybe that will help. I don't know.
Wow. So how far are we away from this in the United States?
I have no idea at this point. I really don't know. I do know that we are implementing a lot of artificial intelligence. I don't disagree with the administration. I think we have to. I think we don't have a choice to do that to protect the American citizens. I feel like
is this because we're just too dumb to stay up with the machines? Or, no, I'm
no,
serious. I mean, AI is basically it's computer, right?
It's computer
generated information that's global,
yep,
that is not limited by my education or my operative knowledge. It doesn't have any limitations.
Absolutely.
Other than the knowledge that exists all over the world.
Yep. Yep. And we, you know, they're using it in ways that you can't, it's hard to imagine, like our mindset.
What would be the worst possible use of AI? I mean, because I always hear this, like, this could be really bad or it could be really good. So what's the really bad side? Most people are talking about what could be really good about it.
Sure. I think programming, when it comes, in my opinion, it's about programming, right? So if AI is used to educate our youth, and it always comes down to the children or the younger generation, because their minds, they don't have the experience. They don't have the knowledge or the awareness, right? So if the AI is the one that they're getting their information from and the programming is skewed, then that right. could be very harmful, right?
Okay.
So that's one way, right? The other way is obviously our information too. We have to know what the AI is telling us. And we, you know, it makes a lot of mistakes even now. It makes the mistakes with my code. It's all of a sudden I'm working on a big project. It's got 400 different pieces of information that I have to implement, all individual pages. It's a big lots of content, in other words.
Okay.
It starts changing its mind on how we set a parameter, but it decides it wants to do something else midway through. So then I started catching it, but I don't know where it decided
it's
to change its mind.
Too much data to be able to.
So
just...
I like had to backtrack. Yeah, it was like halfway through. So it just all of a sudden changes its mind and starts to do something else midway through a parameter that we established was working well, but then all of a sudden it just decides to do something else.
That sounds really scary to me.
So that's another example.
What are the checks and balances to AI? Who holds AI accountable to, let's just say, what's truth? Because I see some AI beginning to develop political positions, different theories, picking up different perspectives. And like, well, where did you get that from? Where did that come from? What is the source? I mean, at least if I'm reading a book, I'm like, okay, oh, well, they got this from this guy and this guy, this guy. I can go check the sources. Or if somebody's just throwing out a quote that Mary Weir made, I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know if that's what she meant. You're just pulling one sentence or something. How can that be fair to her or to anybody else? Well, with AI, how do you do that? Who holds AI accountable? What is the means of control?
That's a big debate. Unfortunately, it's a black box. I mean, the labs, you have the big labs. So it's large language models are trained on just million, like, for example, ChatGPT, I think it was a month ago, I heard the announcement, they went from 500 million users per week to 700 million. Okay, think about that. A week. And that's all data going into their language model, which they're in control of. And so whoever implemented the systems to manage it, and you know, I don't want to throw everyone under the bus. It's got to be tough to try to implement and regulate and keep things in check. And it's, you know, it's probably a war zone. You're moving fast and you're doing it all the time and things are coming at you, but it's still a black box, right? And so when that AI goes in, it's pulling information out with its own capabilities. And so you prompt an AI, you give it parameters and you train it, and it's a back and forth process of prompting it, saying this is how you want it to be. But if it's going into a very large language model, then it can pull whatever it wants out of there, right? It's predictive. There's a lot of formula behind it, math formulas and things like that are getting to the answer. It's phenomenal what it can do. It's phenomenal how it can reason. These are all amazing things. But what is the language model contain? What is the source of data that it's going into and pulling out? What checks and balances do you have on those prompts? What flags do you have when it starts to skew a little bit with its prompting?
Right. How are you to know that? All right. So from what you do, a business owner's listening today and they're like, okay, if AI is the way everything is going, how could I apply that to my business? So what are you seeing? people are listening today, first of all, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. Well, thank you. They can get a hold of me by reaching out to, they can come to my website, verowebconsulting.com, okay. MaryLeeWeir.com. They can call me at 772-268-2072. I'll take a call, or if you can leave a message and I'll call you back. I have a free consultation that they can request a time on my calendar, and I'll get
acquainted.
Yep. And so what was the other question you were asking?
Well, my thought is you identified that, but
yeah.
How are businesses profiting from this? And,
yes.
Somebody's listening, how do they wrap their arms around it and go, this is something I should look into? Am I going to end up being left in the dust by other competitors
sure.
if I don't look into this? And it's a little overwhelming because it's kind of hard to get a hold of. To me, it would sort of be like trying to grab two big handfuls of sand in the windstorm, you know,
yep.
and hang on to them, because it's like, okay, I have a little bit of information. But where is a business today? How does this impact the business community?
Sure. So, for example, I have a client, Vero. He's a cobbler, Shoe Repair City, and we are implementing AI. So
wait,
there's
a
chat.
There is a real cobbler still
yes.
in existence?
Yes, and he's actually doing a lot of work around here in the community. People can mail
wow.
in their shoes to him. I implemented a system. They can go online, fill out a form, mail in their shoes, and he'll mail them back. They get on a FaceTime and a Zoom, and they'll go over what's wrong with your shoes or your bag or your belt
amazing.
Or whatever.
Amazing.
It's
I
pretty cool.
I need that service.
Yeah. Is it very
I didn't know anybody even
yeah. Zoom, and they'll
still. It used to be like, you know, whatever you need for leather, whether it was back when purses and other things were leather, like, where do you go?
Yeah.
You know? Well, that is amazing. Okay, so how does AI work for him?
Because he's in the shop building and repairing and doing all that, we have a chat on the AI, on the website that can answer questions and help people get a hold of him. And record the data if you come. So if you have a question and you can't get on a Zoom or you can't schedule an appointment, it's too confusing, you can just put something in the chat there and the chat will communicate with you. And that is AI. It gets smarter. It has some prompts that we've trained it to answer specifically. And it gives him time to get back to the person who needs their shoe repaired.
So this is better than, okay, the top four questions, and, you know, this is our best shot at answering the top four questions that may
yes.
or may not be relevant.
Right.
It actually has some intellect to
yes.
be able to gather from what a person is communicating and put together an answer. Wow,
yeah.
that's pretty amazing.
So that helps.
So that's a cobbler story.
That's a cobbler story. There's others.
Yeah, so we have all kinds of
yep.
trades. We have electrical,
yep.
Plumbers and builders and stores and such forth. How does this impact like a Walmart? Or how is this impacting where you have tons of inventory and you have returns? And is that...
That's a good question. I'm absolutely certain Walmart has implemented AI
okay.
to reduce the,
physical involvement,
yeah,
or
invoicing,
demand.
Or
it's
you know,
huge.
There's so many things there to really try to understand. Like, you know, how can you free up a person's time? Essentially, how can you free up a person's time to make a process go faster?
Okay.
So if you have a team member and you need to you're onboarding something, it takes a little bit longer because you have to write things out, or you have what kind of system can you implement to free up the person's time who has to onboard people and take a lot of time doing that. It just depends on what internally you have going on within your organization. And how you communicate with people externally, what is their point of entry into your organization? What kind of process can we implement in the back end? And AI can then communicate on behalf of those things. So if it's somebody on the phone who is answering a lot of the same questions, is there something we can put? Now it's not go to a frequently asked questions. It's literally communicate with this AI voice as well. You can talk back, speak back and forth with
right.
it. It can have a British accent if you want.
Whatever
it can have
want.
An American accent. And it can respond to us, and answer with more depth those frequently asked questions, which is just one linear version.
So really, if you were on your computer and you were doing research and you could get a page, two pages of information, AI can just speak that as if it's a person. I called for service on my wife's car to the Mercedes dealer. And it's a very pleasant female voice, answers the phone and, how may I help you and da 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 da. And so it was talking about service. And at some point, I don't know if it's at the beginning. I think it was at the end. It said, this is your AI assistant.
Yep.
And I'm like, huh? I thought it was a person. I literally thought I was talking to a person sitting at a desk.
Yep.
And so someone's not sitting at that desk now.
No, someone's not.
No, but it was a great conversation, and I could understand.
Yep.
I mean, what about all of these call centers that have had these people from all over the world? And I'm like, hello, is there anybody there that, you know, that can talk, you know, gator talk? You know, I'm a swamp puppy here. You know, come on, help me out. I'm in Florida. I don't understand what you're saying. And this fixes that.
It does. Yep. And it's
all over the world.
All over. So any front-facing aspect of your business where it was, you know, you want more interaction, you want to close a sale, you want to make sure that there's something communicating, just like your regular chat, for example, you can replace that now with artificial intelligence or a digital twin, what they call a digital twin, which is the representation of maybe the senior person in your organization or whoever that front-facing person is. Now we can use their voice. We can put them in front of your business, and they can communicate on behalf of your organization. So
if you're a family business, you can just add a whole lot of additional opportunities to communicate without you having to be there to do that.
Correct.
Wow, that is huge.
It's huge. It's very helpful.
Okay,
that's the positive.
Cost.
That's a good question. Yeah, so cost to implement depends on building with the bigger labs, which are the black box labs. It's really just it's fractional. It's pennies.
What is black box? You got to help me out here.
Black box is what you don't know.
I'm thinking airliner and the plane goes down and, you know, we found the black box.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Help me out.
Yeah. So you don't know what is.
It's what you don't know.
It's what you don't know. So we do our best to take your information and we train it with the prompts that you want, and fortunately for service businesses, it's actually quite good. It's educated. It can answer technical questions, like you're talking about electricians. I have lots.
Right.
I have electricians that are clients, and you know, it can answer technical service questions. It's crazy how smart it is, really. So it may be a little bit too much information for your average person who's like, I just need my panels changed, please.
Right.
So, but that's,
this can put service orders together and stuff like that.
It can implement a process between your QuickBooks and invoice your client.
Like a service advisor at a automotive shop, it could really take over a lot of the management of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You click one button. This is done. This car has been... You know, we fixed the water pump and the timing belt.
Yep.
You just put that in, or you even speak it in, timing belt done, water pump done, and boom, next thing you know, it sends it off.
So the cost. So you,
yeah, the
you,
cost. We're
you can
that.
Put this stuff
it
together.
It just depends. So it depends. So for me, there's a fixed fee. I charge typically a fixed or a variable fee depending on the project size. So meaning variable
so
milestones. Yeah, it's time. And then you would have an account with the AI service. So we would use OpenAI or we would use Gemini, and you would get an account.
So it's like
a
membership.
You could get that. You'd pay a service fee for usage. So if it's a chat, it's however many times people come and speak and chat. So we'll limit up to 10 questions just so the business owner doesn't have to pay out of pocket for somebody going 50 questions or their competitor coming and using up all their chat time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it depends. Those are pennies per minute, really. The tokens, what they call tokens, are affordable. So maybe $50 a month, $100 a month for those APIs,
Which isn't anything
just,
really.
Right. And for my time, it just depends on the project size. We go by milestones. My average rate is, I charge $100 an hour for complex development. If it depends. Sometimes it can be less depending on if it's a bigger project. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that's looking for information, you can get started, kind of poke around, ask some questions, a 15-minute
interview, 20, 30
or
minutes.
Whatever it takes for. So that's great.
Yep.
Again, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. It's 772-268-2072 or my website, verowebconsulting.com or maryleeweir.com as well.
All right. Now, Karen, you haven't asked any questions, really, and you have Bubbles that's sitting on the chair early in the morning trying to figure out which way to go in the day. So how can AI help Bubbles?
Well, I've been waiting because when you were here on Wednesday Live a couple months ago, you were saying, and you may have already kind of talked about this, you were saying that AI is inevitable. And if you get in on it now, then you can probably prevent unnecessary things happening. And I think you're kind of alluding to that.
Whoa, this is scary. What are you talking about?
No, I think you're alluding to that with the black box. You know, just so I think what she was saying the first time, this is how I was perceiving it. So if we decided, if WCNO decided to use AI on our website, we have the luxury right now of making it do what we want it to do, right?
Yeah.
So it's only going to take the information that we give it, and so it's like in a safe zone.
So there, that's called, well, so there's a small language model or secure language model, and that's what you would do. We would create a small language model, which would be primarily your data, and that you take a bigger language model and you train it and you prompt it, mm-hmm. and you bring it down, but it doesn't interact with the bigger lab. It's stored on your own machine, whether that's an Amazon or, you know, a cloud service, or even locally if you want to have a server local. And then that is artificial intelligence, and we train it, and we set up a chat, and you can interact with it, you can use voice right. with it, and it gets smarter and it gets trained on your data. Has to be updated, you know, if it's a scientific, if it's research or something, it has to be updated with new methodology or new formulas and that kind of thing. There's ways of doing